enlighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Revelation 21 and verse 23. God's plan for a perfect human society is to be fully realized. This society is called the New Jerusalem, the Holy Jerusalem. Revelation 21, verses 2 and 10. It is seen by John as coming down from God out of heaven, which means that all the residents are children of God and have a heavenly citizenship. Now look first at the city of God. Since the city is perfect in holiness, they can enter into it nothing that defileth, neither worketh abomination or maketh a lie. Chapter 21 and verse 27. It is a place of supreme happiness, having no more curse, or death, or sorrow, or crying, or pain. In it, John was to see a flood of glory upon glory. Sin is without. Temptations have no place. Tears no more flow. Sighs are no longer heaved. Satan and his hosts are locked up in outer darkness. The world as we know it has passed away. There is no longer any fear of grieving God or bringing reproach to our Lord's all-glorious name. Righteousness are the streets and highways. Eternal safety forms the battlements. Eternal praises sound from all the inmates. Eternal glory sparkles from every brow. Eternal pleasures breathe around. Each saint drinks a cup so full that it can hold no more. So pure that it cannot be purer. So deep that everlasting ages cannot exhaust it. Such is the eternal city. All former things have passed away, and all things have been made new. There will be no remembrance of anything of our sad history on earth, and all earthly relationships will have been dissolved. The chiefest joy of the city will be that God dwells in the midst of it. Jesus ever near and seen without an intervening cloud. Here below, oftentimes the Lord is hid from our eyes because sin interposes, or distrust brings mist, or other scenes attract, or indolence deadens the soul. But in the city of God, there shall be eternal vision and eternal adoration, and our Lord will be intensely loved and adored. Such is the city of God. Now notice the centrality of the Lamb in the city. I recall seeing the Taj Mahal in India by moonlight. The only building which ever brought tears to my eyes. So beautiful was it. I think the most beautiful building on the face of the earth. It seemed at that time, looking at it in the moonlight, a replica of the eternal city. What magnificence! What a spectacle! Oh, that the Spirit of God would strengthen our sight for such a delightful gaze upon the new Holy Jerusalem. Oh, that it would attract all pilgrims to the place where it can be shown by the Spirit of God. There are seven things said about the city in these two chapters, Revelation 21 and 22. In 21 and verse 9, it is spoken of as a bridal city, the residence of the Lamb's wife. In verse 14, it mentions the apostles of the Lamb, whose names are upon the foundation of the city. In verse 22, we are told that there is no temple in it, and that the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. In verse 23, we see the Lamb is the lampstand through which the glory of God shines to enlighten the city. In verse 27, it speaks of the Lamb's book of life. And then in chapter 22 and verse 1, the throne of God and of the Lamb govern it. In verse 3, the throne of God and the Lamb exclude every curse, and all its happy residents serve him. In this city, there is no need of any created light, for there is no need of the sun, and no need of any transmitted light, as of the moon, to shine in it, and no need of any manufactured light, for they need no candle. The Lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel's land. As Samuel Rutherford would say, he is central not only to the prophecies of the past, and central to the whole course of human history, but central to all there is in our eternal future. Finally, we have the closing appeal of the Lamb. Behold, I come quickly. Revelation 22 and verse 7. And the Lord Jesus invites all to this holy city, the New Jerusalem. He describes himself as the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Surely we should seek to release our minds from the poor grovelings of earthly things. Seek elevation for our hearts in this chart of the coming of the Lord. Before his coming, he issues one last appeal, plea and appeal for all to come. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. 22 and verse 17. The Lord Jesus meets all our needs. Leaning on his arm, we may pass safely over Jordan's waves. Safe by his side, we all may gain heaven's eternal joy. Pure in his righteousness, we may stand welcome before God in his eternal city. It is the recompense of Jesus' blood that all the redeemed be there. We estimate homes by their price, do we not? The price of this eternal home for the saints was infinite. It must therefore be a place and a treasure beyond our thought. May the Lord give to us all an abundant entrance. And if we cling to Jesus, we shall have it. Listen to the words of an 11th century hymn in Latin, translated by Edward Caswall. O Jesus, King most wonderful, thou conqueror renowned, Thou sweetness most ineffable, in whom all joys are found. When once thou visitest the heart, then truth begins to shine. Then earthly vanities depart. Then kindles love divine. Thee may our tongues forever bless. Thee may we love alone. And ever in our lives express the image of thine own. Grant us while here on earth we stay, thy love to feel and know. And when from hence we pass away, to us thy glory show. How beautiful. Amen and amen.